Thank you, Mary Sue. Thank you. If you have your Bibles, I want you to find the book of John. We'll be there in just a second. I want to ask you a question this morning. We've been talking about some negative emotions, and we talked about discouragement. We talked about fear, and this morning we're going to talk about guilt. Guilt. Have you ever felt guilty when you hadn't done anything wrong? There are a lot of people that do. They go around and they live under this cloud of guilt. There are many times when we can remember something in our lives that we did in the past and that we should feel guilty about. And we should have felt guilty about. But we asked God to forgive us. And God forgave us. And yet, all these years later, we still are feeling guilty. We're carrying this load of guilt. It's been a long time ago. You should have been over it. But there are some folks that just walk around feeling guilty all the time, and they don't know why. They just live under this fog of guilt. They can't accomplish anything, can't move forward with their life. They don't feel a lot of self-confidence. They just feel guilty. I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. We're going to look at a story of a woman that should have felt guilty. Okay? I want you to think this morning about real guilt and false guilt. Okay? There is real guilt, and there are times we should feel guilty, but then there is also this idea of false guilt. Okay? False guilt. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. I'll read this to you and discuss it for a few minutes. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is among you without sin, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman was standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." And then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Now, this is a woman who is genuinely guilty. As a matter of fact, there is a phrase in here that tells us there is no question or doubt about her guilt, because she was not caught after the adultery or before the adultery. It says she was caught in the very act of adultery. There is no question this woman is guilty. But what I want to point out in this story is how Jesus treats guilty people. Even if you're genuinely guilty about something, how does Jesus treat you? Now, we know the Bible says that Jesus knows the hearts of men. And he knows your heart. He knows the heart of when he met Nicodemus, when he met Zacchaeus, when he met the disciples. He could see in the heart of a man. This morning, Jesus can see into our hearts. He knows what's in our hearts. And he knows that this woman was repentant of her sin. Now, there's no question. She's a sinner. But when she sees the eyes of Jesus, I don't know if it was the love in his eyes. I don't know if it was the way he carried himself. I don't know if it was just the love of God emanating from him. But Jesus communicated love to this woman, and she just instantaneously received Christ. She received forgiveness. Her sins were wiped away, and Jesus Christ did away with her guilt. He turned to the crowd, and he said, listen, any of you who are here this morning, or if you have no sin, then you have the right to stone this woman. Jesus set her free of guilt. Jesus is not in the business of heaping guilt onto us. He is in the business of setting us free from the power of sin and shame. Sometimes guilt will cause us to be fearful. We feel as though Jesus is going to get us. We feel like God is going to strike us down because of what we've done. For some people, they don't have to do anything to feel guilty. Now, some of you remember in the old days, I don't quite remember that far back, but there was a time when going to the movies was a sin, right? Y'all remember those days? Remember the days when playing baseball on Sunday was a sin? And you better not be playing cards on a Sunday. That will get you to hell faster than about anything. Now, I'm not making fun of that. Some of you were taught that, and that's how you believe. But you know, honestly, is there really a sin of going to a movie if the movie's clean? If there's no profanity? If there's no sexuality? Is that a sin? I mean, honestly, is that a sin? And yet, people would go to the movies, and they would just pray. I remember hearing one speaker, he says, prayed that Jesus would not come back during the movie. And then he later said, it wasn't because I felt guilty, it's because I just wanted to see the end of the movie. Okay? But people feel guilty for all kinds of things that is not sin. But if the preacher said it was a sin, whether the Bible said it was a sin or not, they felt this sense of guilt. Now let me just say this. We live in a world today when people have become almost absolutely numb to sin. And they can do things that ought to make them feel guilty and that they feel no guilt at all. They can tune into Netflix and watch program that is latent with profanity, latent with the use of God's name in vain, all kind of nasty talk and graphic sexuality, and they just sit right there and watch it. And you've done it, and I've probably done it. I have done it. We don't feel that conviction. We tolerate so many things that ought to make us feel guilty. And that's good guilt. We should feel guilty. There are those people who are among us, and they're burdened. They're burdened with guilt. And what do? When we get burdened with guilt, we look around. Oftentimes we find somebody or someone, something to blame. Some people just feel guilty. There's no one to blame. They just feel guilty. Now, I want you to think this morning about good guilt and bad guilt. Let me give you a definition of guilt. Okay, guilt is a painful feeling of self-condemnation for having done something that we recognize as being sinful. There's all kinds of guilt. There is civil guilt. Okay? I'm riding down the road the other day. I am going 62 miles an hour. I think I shared this with you already. Did I share it? Y'all remember me telling this story? I'm going 62 miles per hour. I have my seatbelt on. I'm driving down the highway. And I see him sitting in the median, the Georgia State Patrolman. And I go by him and I think, oh, praise the Lord, I'm going 62. And all of a sudden, I see the lights come on. And he's after me. And so I speed up. No, I'm just kidding. And so I pull over, and I'm like, what? I'm kind of mad, you know. I'm kind of upset about it. He comes up and he wants my license and he says, sir, you know why I stopped you? I said, I have no idea. He said, your tag light's out. I was guilty. Tag light was out. Now, there have been times when I'm riding down the highway and I'm going 68 in a 65. And I see the state patrol and I instantly feel guilty. There's civic guilt. There's theological guilt. There are things that we know are against God's will. And we do those things and we know that we are violating God's word or we're violating God's law. There's psychological guilt. We think to ourselves, I could have done better. I could have performed this skill a little better. I could have been a better parent. I could have been a better this. I could have been a better that. And so there's all this psychological guilt that we heap onto ourselves. There is good guilt and there is bad guilt. Now, good guilt is this. It is the guilt that we receive when we disobey God. When you disobey God, if you are a believer, there ought to be a sense of guilt. That's because the Holy Spirit is in you, and the Holy Spirit brings conviction. The word conviction means this, or the word confess means to admit to God, to agree with God. Conviction is an awareness that you've done something that you shouldn't do. And so God has given us awesome gift to us, the Holy Spirit, who comes and he brings conviction when we do something wrong. Now, what if the Holy Spirit did not bring conviction when we did something wrong? We'd just do whatever we wanted to do. But thank goodness, this morning, if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit is in you and he is bringing conviction when you do something wrong. We feel conviction of sin. It doesn't necessarily feel good, but it is good for us because it makes us feel guilt. We can repent of that. We can get right with God. You're going to feel pain when you do something wrong or you do something to hurt someone. That is good guilt. True guilt is like this. It is a stop sign. You're doing something wrong. Holy Spirit comes, brings conviction. He puts up a stop sign, says you better stop now. If you don't stop now, it's going to get worse. If you don't stop now, you're going to go over into the ditch. If you don't stop now, you're going to get T-boned. So stop this right now. And so that is a kind of good guilt. Now, what is bad guilt? Bad guilt is this. It's not a result of some wrong action that you've done, but it is a result of some wrong thinking. If you sit down, you watch a movie, it's clean. It should not make you feel guilty. There's nothing wrong with it. If you sit down and you watch a movie that's dirty, then there should be guilt. You should feel guilty. There are some folks who never have a sense of guilt. They have no conscience. Apparently the Holy Spirit is not there. So what is the source of real, true, genuine guilt? True guilt. It's a painful feeling that you receive as a result of doing wrong. Let me give you an example of true guilt. Okay? Go back to the Garden of Eden. Here's Adam and Eve. God has given them one rule, and that's do not eat from that tree. And so they did. They went. They plucked the fruit from the tree. Eve ate. She gave it to Adam. And immediately they were ashamed. They tried to sew fig leaves to cover up their shame. They couldn't do it. God came walking in the garden. And Adam said, God, we're afraid of you because of our shame. And that is true guilt. Another example of true guilt is when David sinned with Bathsheba. David looked down. He saw her. He wanted her. He called for her. He took her. She got pregnant. He killed her husband. And then about a year later, Nathan the prophet came, told David a little story. David was upset because of the story. And then the prophet said, David, you're guilty. You're the man in that story that stole the lamb, that took the lamb. You took that precious woman from her husband. And David felt a sense of true guilt. We think about Peter, when Peter is in that courtyard, this little girl comes, she challenges him, "Weren't you with Christ?" Peter denied that he even knew who Christ was. He denied that he knew Christ, and it penetrated him. Peter's heart broke. He could not even admit that he knew Christ, and he felt guilty. If you ever get to a place where you can sin against a holy God and it does not bother you, you have come to a very dangerous place. There ought to be a sense of guilt. And if you are a person who has developed no conscience, there are going to be some very bad consequences. You know, it's like this. A few years ago, when I was in school, we sang hymns in Mrs. Braswell's homeroom class. We had the Ten Commandments on the wall. You went into every courtroom and courthouse, and there was always a display of the Ten Commandments. But what have we done? We have taken those Ten Commandments, we've taken them off the walls of our schools, we've taken them out of many of our courthouses. And why have we done that? Because people want to be reminded of their sin. They want to take them off the wall so they don't have to be reminded that they're an adulterer. Now, let me ask you this question. Think about our schools. Do we want our children to steal? Do we want them to lie? Do we want them to be disrespectful to parents? No. We want our children to tell the truth. We don't want them to steal. We want them to be respectful of parents. We don't want them to use bad language. But adults have had those Ten Commandments taken off the wall because they don't want to believe the Bible and they don't want to be reminded of their sin. They cannot stand the guilt that comes when truth confronts them. Sometimes people will not like you if you remind them of something that's down deep inside of them that causes them to feel guilty. They don't want to hear it. Now, true guilt. What is false guilt? Well, false guilt is not good. False guilt is not from God. So what is false guilt? This is what false guilt. It is when people live in constant anxiety. They feel a sense of insecurity. They don't enjoy life. There's a feeling that the person has committed something. They've committed a wrong, and they haven't done anything wrong. You know what the devil is called? He is called the accuser of the brethren. And the devil really loves to make you feel guilty. If you ask a person who is experiencing false guilt, say, "Why are you feeling guilty?" And they can't tell you why they feel guilty. They just feel guilty. Maybe something happened in the past. Maybe something happened to you. Maybe it was something that was very bad that happened to you when you were a child. I talked to a good friend of mine this week who had something very bad happen to him when he was 12 years old, and there was a sense of guilt. He had nothing to do with what happened to him, and yet this guilt has been sort of a curse in his life. You ask him, "Well, why do you feel guilty about that? You had nothing to do with it." He says, "Well, I don't know. I just feel guilty. I feel guilty, even though it wasn't my fault." And so this person grows up, multiple marriages, yet this person's completely innocent. There is this cloud hanging over this person because they feel guilty constantly. A mother loses her baby at the very end, and she feels guilty. What did I do wrong? Did I cause this? Did I pick up something? Did I work too hard? Did I sleep on the wrong side? And she feels this guilt. What did I do wrong? And she's not guilty at all. Maybe there's a person, they had an opportunity, and they tried to do their best, but they just didn't do well enough. And so they feel guilty because they didn't succeed. You've done your best, but you feel guilty. There are people who are married, and You can't seem to meet that person's expectations, no matter how hard you try. You can never do enough to please that person. You feel like, well, I've done something wrong. I just can't make this person happy. And so you feel guilty, and it penetrates your life, and you change this and you change that. You try to please them. You try to do everything you can, but you never can satisfy them. And so you just go around feeling, well, I'm just not a very good wife. I'm just not a very good husband. I just don't meet the expectations. And so you feel like there's something wrong with you. Some people feel as though they can never match up to others, and guilt takes over, and you feel like you're inadequate. You feel like you don't deserve anything that's better. You feel like God's somehow punishing you. I ask you, if you think back, and maybe there was something you did in life, and maybe it was involved in sin. Let me ask you this question. Did you ask God to forgive you of that? Now, what does God say? He says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The Bible says that He removes your sins as far as the east is from the west. I ask you, did you ask Him to forgive you? Did He? Did He forgive you? How many times do you have to ask God to forgive you? Let me tell you the answer to that question. Once. All you have to do is ask Him one time, and He wipes that sin away. How many times have you had this experience? You know that you've done something wrong, and you feel horribly guilty about it. You feel terrible. You go to God. You say, God, I can't believe I did this. And maybe you say, I can't believe I did this again. And you ask God, please forgive me. And then an hour later, you say, God, would you forgive me? You know, I think this is what God says. You confess the sin the second time. God, would you forgive me of that sin? You know what I think God says? What sin? What sin are you talking about? Because it says that He removes your sin as far as the east is from the west. And you know what it says at the end of that verse? And He remembers your sin no more. And so you have been forgiven. You only have to ask Him one time, and yet you suffer and you suffer and you suffer because you cannot handle the fact that God has forgiven you. You have received forgiveness, and yet you still feel guilty. Some people share their faith. The person rejects the gospel. They reject you. And since you weren't able to see them come to faith, you feel guilty. And so you don't want to feel guilty anymore, so you just don't share your faith anymore. I mean, for crying out loud, who wants to feel guilty for leading a person to Christ? Let me tell you, that is just a pure lie from the enemy. Because listen, God didn't call you to save anybody. He does the saving. All you have to do is just be the messenger. You just have to carry the gospel. Let me give you some consequences of guilt. Now, this is true guilt and false guilt. Listen, I'm going to go through these pretty quickly. Consequences of guilt. The fear of being rejected by God. I feel like God's going to reject me. Another consequence, feeling that His judgment could be imminent. Oh, no, God's going to get me any minute. He's coming after me. Strong feelings of anxiety. We do something wrong. We feel guilty, or we just feel guilty. We feel anxiety. There are some people that are very driven in life because they feel guilty all the time, so they want to work extra hard. They want to do extra work so they don't feel so guilty. Some people have a divided mind. You just can't make a decision. You procrastinate everything because you're just afraid all the time. You're afraid of God, and you're afraid that God's going to get you, and He's going to lower the boom on you. Some people feel a sense of self-punishment. Well, I deserve to be punished. Some people feel a sense of insecurity. Let me tell you one thing guilt does is it hinders your prayer life because Satan constantly brings up your past. He reminds you of how terrible you are, how bad you are. You say, well, how could God ever hear my prayer? I'm not even going to bother because He's not going to hear me anyway. I'm such a bad person. Listen, there's always a conflict with guilt and faith, with false gift and true faith. Unresolved guilt will make you depressed. It will bring depression. It will give you a sense of a loss of self-worthiness. You think, I'm a bad person. It gives you a feeling of shame. It will give you a feeling of, it'll keep you from having good relationships. Some people feel shame. You know, and real guilt should bring some shame until you confess it. But false guilt should not. There are a lot of people that are walking around today that are divorced, and they feel a sense of shame, even though they had nothing to do with the divorce. That person walked out on you, they left you, and so you go around feeling guilty and feeling shame all the time. You need to get over it. That person walked away from you. You don't have to be ashamed of that. It wasn't your fault. A person who is constantly under a cloud of guilt can miss the will of God. It'll cause physical illnesses, stomach, heart, circulatory problems. False guilt will make you a very sick person. And so how do we get released from this guilt? And the first thing is this. We need to come to an understanding of the vicarious atonement of Jesus Christ. What that means is He became your substitute. If so, you've done something bad. Maybe it's horribly, horribly bad. The Bible teaches us from Genesis to Revelation that Jesus Christ was the substitute for your sin. He took your guilt. He took your shame. He took your fear. He took it all on the cross. You can never make amends for your sin. You can never do anything about it. Only thing you can do is to receive His forgiveness. So you have to understand that you're helpless. You don't bring anything to the table. Some people, they feel badly because they treated maybe your father. You treated your father badly. And then your father dies before you have a chance to make amends, and now you feel guilty. The person that you need to settle with is now gone. But you can settle that with Christ. You can ask Him to forgive you, and you can be forgiven of anything. And so we have to understand that Christ came as our substitute. He came in our place. The second thing is this. You need to confess and repent of your sin before God, if there is sin. To confess means I agree with you, God, that this is sin. I want to turn away from this. You receive Christ as your Savior. You're forgiven, and all of your sin is wiped away. You know, that to me is a hard thing to understand, that all of my sin has been wiped away. Every sin I've ever committed, any sin I'll commit today, and any sin that I'll commit in the future, Christ has taken care of that sin. He has covered that sin as far as the east is from the west. From infinity to infinity, our sins have been forgiven. Trust Him to forgive you. I've talked often about positional grace, that we are in this position of grace. That when God views us, He looks at us and He sees the blood of His Son that covers our sins. And so we can never improve upon the salvation that God's given us. There's nothing we can ever do that's going to make us a better person in the eyes of God. We have been forgiven for our sins. And that's called positional grace. And then there's practical grace. Yeah, we still have to go to God and confess our sins. I still have to go to the Lord often and say, God, I thought this, I said this, I had this attitude. God, I was lazy, I wasted time. We have to ask God to forgive us, to restore that fellowship. Another thing we can do is this. This is very important. You know, we got a lot of people here. And you take all these mistakes we've made in the past. Instead of feeling guilty about those things, what we need to do is we need to take all of that and we need to weave it in a tapestry of ministry. That we can take all that we've done and we can weave those mistakes into a blessing because you've got a testimony. You got a testimony that no one else has. You know, the Bible says, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Even all that garbage in the past that you don't have to feel guilty about anymore, but God can take that and He can make it into a blessing. I've thought often about the necessity of a Celebrate Recovery program in our church, how there are people who have struggled with drugs and alcohol and all kinds of addictions, and how they can take that and they conquered that. They won. They got the victory. Now they can take that, and even though it was hard, they lost a lot of stuff. They made a lot of mistakes, but they can weave that into a ministry to help people who are struggling today. How long do you want to feel guilty? I remember this illustration I heard a few years ago, and this is how a lot of people look at this. There was a missionary, he was in a market, and he was going through the market. I've been through markets like this. I was in one time in Honduras, and they were selling iguana. They weren't selling them for pets, okay? They were selling them for supper. And these iguana were tied in the nose together. And you see all kind of crazy things like that. You see fish just laid out. But this one particular missionary was going through the market, and he saw these birds, and they were quail. And they were there was a little stick right in the middle of the table. And there were these quail, and they had a little string that was tied to their little legs and a little ring over the little post. And they were walking like soldiers around this post, around and around and around and around. And this missionary came upon that. He thought, that is so cruel. And so he asked the man, he said, how much for the quail? And he told him a price. And he said, I want to buy all those quail. There are like five quail marching around this little post. He said, I want to buy all those quail. And so the man got him, he said, and the missionary said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to cut the strings off those legs, and I want you to set them free. And the guy didn't understand, you know, but he did what he said because he had already paid. He cut the strings off of those little legs of those quail, and he shooed them away, and they flew into the market. About 10 seconds later, all those quail made a little circle. They came back. They landed on the very same table. They formed a formation, and they continued to march, even though they had been set free. And see, that's what guilt does to us. False guilt will make us captive, and it will keep us in prison. How long are you going to feel guilty? If you feel guilty about anything, if there's something you've done that's truly something you should be guilty about, confess it and ask the Lord to forgive you and deal with it. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ has come to set the captive free. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free. I know that when Christ died on the cross, he paid the price to set us free from the power of sin and guilt. And Father, we don't have to live lives of being ashamed. Lord, I know that there are many of us who have made many mistakes in the past. And Father, I just pray that you would set us free from the guilt. If there is any residual guilt in our lives, God, set us free from that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.